Sprint cars, super late models, thunder cars, modifies, World of Outlaws, Arca. It's all here.
Welcome to Race Time Radio. Covering dirt to asphalt.
On races, fame, short tracks.
All the way to the high banked oval.
This is Race Time Radio.
Come on now, dig.
Your host, live from the Racetime Radio Studio, it's Smokin' Joe Chisholm.
Excellent, buddy, excellent.
Pitter-patter, let's get at her. Good evening, everyone, and welcome to Racetime Radio. 2 hours, the next 2 hours, all about racing. Here in Canada, down in the U.S., we got a lot of exciting guests for you tonight on the program. We're even going to have a little bit of time, I do believe, to hear from you, the listeners. We will have some open phone lines in hour number two. I know we're going to leave enough time tonight. Tone, I know you're tuned in. And same as you, Ken, out on the East Coast and wherever you are, welcome aboard. We got Junior in the studio. What do you think, Junior? A little bit of snow flying in Martinsville this weekend. No racing until tomorrow.
I feel a little bad for them.
Yeah.
Just a little bit. Just a tad bad. I feel bad for, Martinsville. Obviously, it's a kind of a rough deal because they, are going to lose out on quite a bit of money. But, overall, it's kind of funny that, they get snowed out and we had a nice sunny weekend here.
Yeah, it was cold here, but the sun did shine. It was kind of nice. Tomorrow's supposed to be a beauty day.
Yeah, it is for sure. And, for all the listeners out there that don't know where we are, our studio is just outside of Owen Sound, Ontario, a little place called Shallow Lake. And, It's springtime is here.
Yeah, sure is. At least it feels like. Watch it turn back to winter next week. Hopefully not.
Yeah, no kidding.
Yeah. Right?
But, we have, we don't usually do production meetings while we're on the air, but, we've got one guest that wants to jump on tonight.
Yeah.
Brandon McReynolds.
Oh, really?
And Noah Gregson. Yeah. Oh. What time do you want them to jump on?
Well, right around that, how about 10 after 8 sort of looking?
All right.
Right after Jeff Foltz. Let me tell you who
we've
got coming up.
A little bit of a production meeting, behind the scenes look at how we set up our guest lineup.
here's who we got coming up tonight. We're going to talk to the 91 in the Parts for Trucks Tour. Dylan Gosby has got his 91 ready to fly. What a beautiful looking machine. Not only a beautiful looking ride, man, that guy's always got that car flying on the track. Dylan Gosby is going to join us tonight in the show. We'll also talk NASCAR Pindy Series with the Pindy Series director. We have Sherry Putnam going to join us. We'll also hear from, how about a winner this past weekend, all the way down in Myrtle Beach. It was a Cars Tour, and Jeff Foltz goes to Victory Lane, and Jeff is going to join the program. We'll also catch up with Dave Franks here tonight. They got some exciting news coming around the IWK 250. You'll see what I mean when we get Crafty Dave on here. And by the sounds of it, Junior, we got another guest.
Yeah. Yeah, Noah Gregson.
We're going to grab Noah Gregson. That's
cool. Yeah,
we'll
have Noah Gregson and them. They'll come around, I guess, the top of the next hour.
That's
or something like
what
that.
We'll do.
And, yeah, that'll be kind of cool. We'll get to talk to a truck guy. The race, of course, took the green flag yesterday.
It did.
But then they got snowed out, relatively quickly. They've only got a handful of laps in, but we'll get to talk to a NASCAR Camper World Truck Series driver in between. Basically, while the race is still live.
Yeah.
The race is live right now, technically, right?
The race is live right now?
Yeah, well, it's they're rocking and rolling right now down in the snow.
But, it's under rain delay or snow delay.
Yeah, how else can you put it?
But watching practice on Friday for those Camping World Truck Series teams, Noah's got a quick truck. He's got a good one. Matt Crafton, another one that's real quick there. He's got a couple of clocks to his repertoire.
Yep.
Matt Crafton looks good. I was really surprised there. Stuart Friesen in the 52, he wasn't fast through the first three practices, but in the final practice, man oh man, he went right from like 18th to 5th on the board. So by the sounds of it, they've got a decent truck. And how about Grant Enfinger? He led final practice. Guy's got a quick champion truck.
Yeah, for sure. And when you look at the Thor Sport group, they're all very fast right now. Of course, Ben Rhodes as well in that 41 truck.
Yeah.
Took the pole, you know, had fast time, and then also he was fastest in the first session. It kind of the fastest 10-lap average all the way through the weekend so far. So that 41 truck is definitely a truck that you got to watch out for.
How about the Cup cars? Man, we got some different-looking stuff on the racetrack. I kind of figured we were going to see the 96 car, which is DJ Kennington this weekend, running for Gaunt Brothers again. And he's got Gordon Brothers on the 96 this weekend. Kind of thought we'd see a DJ Kennington rate about mid-pack or so in practice. Not so just yet. He is back there a little bit. But I believe you're going to see a really good finish at the DJ Kennington this weekend when they get under the green.
Yeah, for sure. Martinsville is a very different racetrack than, you know, a conventional short track that, you know, that DJ, you know, really excels at. As well, the team, you know, the team is young.
Sure
that,
it is.
That team is young overall. You know, they're building that notebook and they're building, you know, into the future. So when you look at the technology that these Cup teams have, you know, at their disposal for Martinsville or any other racetrack that's on the schedule,
yep.
They have some really high-tech, neat things that they do for their setups. You know, it's all about a learning process. They have some great people, obviously, and who have their own notebooks.
Right.
That all of that infrastructure will build. And, you know, he has a shot. Just being on the racetrack at Martinsville, you can work your way through. Track position is everything.
Yeah, stay out of trouble, right?
Stay out of trouble and you know, try to maintain those laps. It's very quick to go a lap down, but in saying that, it's very difficult to get past,
right?
You know, to get lapped. So, you know, he's going to start towards the tail end of the field, and you know, it'll be really interesting. He will be at the tail end of the field, it will be interesting. Keep your nose clean, and you know, those lucky dogs, and really, you know, in this era in NASCAR, you know, at the end of these races, there's 25, 30 cars on the lead lap still.
Sometimes,
you know,
towards
the end of the race. So it's not unheard of, you know, to move up through if the car stays together.
Yeah, and no pressure really at the back of the field, right? You're going to do what you do, and through pit strategy and some good clean runs, you can move up in this field quite easily.
Absolutely, yeah. It's all about your, you know, the lane choice. And you know, obviously the bottom lane is preferred at Martinsville by far. It's the only place to run. And you know, when you see it, you can advance your position once it does string out, so to speak. But when they do take the green flag, you got to remember the leader is technically only, you know, not even a quarter mile behind you.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
It's definitely, you know, paramount that there's some early cautions for him to get a good run. You know, it'll be really interesting to see how everything shakes out. I'm pulling for him. Obviously, he is a hard-nosed short track racer.
Yeah.
He's not afraid of rooting and gouging, and you got to be. You know, you've got to be able to get up on that wheel at Martinsville and get everybody out of your way. So DJ will excel at that, and it will be very interesting.
How about Glenn Stires? Watching him on Facebook or on Twitter this weekend, he's at Martinsville 1 minute, and he's, I don't know, Niagara Falls, didn't you say, the next minute he was down there?
No, yeah, he wasn't, actually. He was.
Oh, so, wasn't it? Oh, okay.
So Dave White posted a photo. I guess he's down there with DJ.
Oh, he's got to be. That's what I figured.
He had a photo of Glenn Stires in at his shop.
Oh,
so he was catching up on Twitter, and he posted that Glenn Stires, you know, it's cool to have Glenn Stires in the shop at White Motorsports. And I was like, wait a minute. The guy was just in Virginia like an hour and a half ago,
yeah,
and now he's in St. Thomas.
What's he got, a plane?
He's got a helicopter that landed right in the back of Whitey's property, I guess. So I jumped on him pretty good quickly on Twitter, and he rectified the situation.
Ah, there you go. Yeah, he's got it all straightened out. But it wouldn't surprise me. Glenn Stires pops up everywhere. You got to follow him on Twitter. And by the way, Osquecan Speedway launched their 2018 schedule just a few days ago. So if you haven't checked that baby out, you want to do so. Always a great, great spot to see and you want to make it to a dirt race there for sure.
Yeah, 100%. And when you look at the schedule that Ashweken has, you know, there was a lot of fear at the beginning of the schedule or the beginning of the year, just with their parking situation and how everything was shaping up for the 2018 season. And by all accounts, they've fixed all the issues.
Yeah.
And everything is going to be rocking and rolling again for 2018. So hats off to them. That's a team that went to work and they got it done. And they overcame a big issue to get everything lined up.
Tell me we haven't got a great 2018 to look forward to here. I know we've been saying it since, you know, all the schedules started popping out and stuff, but man, we got a dynamite season coming up. I know we all can't wait to get it underway. But what do you say, Junior? We get to the hotline, and let's bring in our first guest. He drives the number 91 in the Parts for Trucks Tour on Canada's East Coast, one of the best-looking super late models on the racetrack anywhere. That 91 is going to look super fantastic this year. We got the driver of it right now. We got Dylan Gosby with us. What's going on, Dill? How you doing?
Oh, not too bad, man. Not too bad. Just finishing up the weekend here and getting ready for the work week, I guess.
Well, I'll tell you what. You've been a busy cat in that shop. That 91 car looks spectacular.
Oh, thanks, man. Yeah, we have been really busy over the winter here. We got both cars pretty much ready to go, and yeah, we're looking forward to it. Can't wait.
Dylan, you had a really good season last year, and I know there was a couple of times we were ready to call you the winner of the race, and just by dumb luck, something would happen right near the end. Aside from that, man, you had a dynamite 2017 season.
Yeah, thanks for reminding me. we did have a pretty strong year for all. I mean, we did have a few upsets, like you say. We were within a few feet of winning the second race of the year, and a caution came out, and had to restart the race. And unfortunately, we weren't able to do it. But like you say, I mean, we were on our game most of the year, right up to the halfway point. I mean, we were only a handful of points at a first, and like you say, due to unfortunate circumstances, we kind of had a few setbacks and ended up wrecking. And yeah, we got the car patched together to finish the year out, and it wasn't quite as good as it was before that, but we didn't quit and we kept going.
Well, I'll tell you what, you're always great to watch on that racetrack. I don't care where you start that feature, by the time we get into the middle to closing laps, that 91 car makes its way to the front in a hurry.
Yeah, thanks. No, we try to put on a show for sure. I mean, like you say, like whether we start at the back or the front, we usually run every lap kind of like it's the last one. So sometimes that can be a downfall for us, and sometimes it works out in our favor.
Yeah, balls to the wall. You know, last year, you guys, Petty was the second race of the year.
Yep.
This year, you guys are going to kick off at Petty. That's where you guys are starting the Parts for Trucks Tour on the May long weekend. What's that do to the psyche of the 91?
Oh, I mean, I'm looking forward to it. I mean, we got 2 seconds there last year, and we were running third at the race that we were just talking about until it ended for us. But so, I mean, statistically, I'm pumped for it. But on the other hand, I'm a little nervous. I mean, Scotia Speed World, I love racing there. It's a wide track. It's forgiving. And, you know, there's going to be a lot of rookies this year, the new people coming in.
Mm-hmm.
I'm expecting to have like 30-some cars there for this first race, and it's a tight track. It's going to be a great one for the fans, but, I mean, a few of us are going to be biting our nails, I'm sure.
Absolutely. Dylan, talk to us. The blue on the nose of the car that you posted on your Facebook page there, what color is that? That has got to be the coolest blue that I have ever seen on a race car.
Yeah, well, I wish the car was really that color, but the car is actually red. That was just kind of a little bit of camera trickery. On my phone, so it's the same scheme as it was there a couple of years ago with that car.
Right.
But we're actually talking there. My sponsor and car owner, Ryan Hines, he's kind of loving that color too, and he was thinking, you know, maybe the first time we have to do a bit of work to it, maybe we should switch it up to that. So you never know, you might see that this year.
Yeah, what? No kidding. So it was camera trickery.
Yeah, exactly. No, the car still looks red. I mean, it still looks just as awesome, but that blue is pretty killer, like you said.
Well, and, you know, the sponsor would have to wrap that color into his repertoire, too, right? If that's the color you're going to go with, because that's what you got it all matched up to, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Good support on that 91, too. You're doing good with sponsorship. Seems like you got that Greenfield on there every year.
Oh, yeah. Like I say, like, Ryan and Brittany Hines, he's the owner of Greenfield, Terra Vista Limited. He is the man. I mean, he keeps us going. He gives us whatever we need. he loves racing as much as we do, and if it wasn't for him, man, we wouldn't be there. So, like you say, we're pretty stoked to have him around. It's pretty good.
Yeah, it's going to be a good season. I got a real sneaky suspicion this is going to be a dandy. Riverside, let's talk about that for a bit. We got Kenny Wallace coming in. It was announced last week. He's going to be one of those guys you're going to go out there and run against. I guess, you know, run against pretty well all those big guys you have. Kenny's not going to be any different, I wouldn't imagine, than any Mark Martin or Joey Logano or any of those guys.
Yeah, no, like you say, we've had quite a few stout guys come up from down south, and I'm sure Kenny's going to be just as competitive as the rest of them. Mark Martin was awesome. I mean, he's a legend last year, and it was just crazy to be there with him. And the years before with Logano and who else was there, Keselowski and Regan. Like you say, there's been some pretty good guys come up here and put on a show. But Kenny Wallace, yeah, I mean, I think he's going to pack the stands just as good as Mark did. Is he going to be there at the end? We're going to see. I'm not sure.
If he is, he's got to be behind the 91, right?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure of that. Yeah, that I'm confident of.
How about the crew? What do you got happening this year for crew? Who's going to be on the box for you? You got any changes in that regard?
Well, we picked up a couple of new guys through the year last year, and they've been a great help, but it's going to be our same core guys. I got my good friend Chris Wanicott and Joel and Jody and Steve, Bobby, Tom Powell, and we picked up Brian McNaughton, who used to race super late models here in the Maritimes for quite a few years, and he's been giving us a hand this last year, and he's coming on again this year. So, yeah, crew-wise, I mean, we got a healthy crew, and a lot of our guys are pretty experienced and been around for a while, so it makes it my job a lot easier.
Yeah, a little technology goes a long way, doesn't it, to help
you
out?
Yeah,
you know what you're doing behind the wheel, but I'll tell you what, you guys got to do your homework to get out there and do what you do.
Oh, no question. I mean, the races are like won or lost in the shop. I mean, what you got when you unload is what you got. So if you didn't do your work at home, it's just going to show.
How about testing tuning? Are you going to get a chance, do you think, Dylan, to do any testing and tuning before you head off to Petty and kick the year off?
Oh, definitely. Well, we're hoping to go down to Oxford here in 3 weeks. So I don't know, but what's going on with the snow down there? I mean, they didn't get to race in Martinsville today, but I'm hoping that the snow clears up in Maine there and we get to go do the first open and race at Oxford.
Yeah.
So we'll be there. And then, yeah, our second race of the year will be the tour, but we'll definitely get out for a couple of practices between that, too, to kind of shake the car down and hopefully have a leg up on the competition.
Dylan, there's quite a few names from out on that East Coast that have thrown their hat in the ring to come over to Jocassa here towards the end of the year for that $25,000 to win race. Are you guys going to be loading up and coming over here for that?
Well, it's funny you ask that because we actually are in talks with a pretty big sponsor out of the Ontario area that are wanting us to come down. So it's looking like that's probably going to happen. Yep.
Cool.
Oh, that is cool. It's going to be a whale of a race here. I know we look forward to all the parts for trucks to our races, but isn't it kind of cool when we got some big stuff on this side of the border we can run?
Oh, yeah. No, it's awesome, man. Like, there's a couple of key, like, marquee races that are up here in Canada now, and I think you'll see some more guys like Kyle Busch and them that want to win all those crown jewel races. You're going to see them guys up here and run them races before you know it, I think.
Yeah, they're going to struggle when they get here. It's not going to be no cakewalk. You guys are lighting the lamp, especially on the East Coast, but I can't wait to see what you're going to do here in Ontario against some of the best they've got here. It's truly going to be a great summer, man. I can't wait to get started.
No, same here. It'll be tough. I mean, with the different rule packages and stuff, like you say, but I'm looking forward to the challenge. It'll be fun.
Absolutely. I knew you'd be up for the test, man. Dylan Gosby, this has been great catching up with you tonight. Noel, we look forward to seeing how you make out down in Oxford if you do happen to get down there and kick it off. If all that 3 feet of snow they got last week melts out and you get a chance to get some test and tune in. If not, I know we look forward to catching up with you throughout the course of the season. And we're going to be there to broadcast that first Scotia race, which is race number 2 in the tour. Can't wait.
Yes, sir. No, that's awesome. I look forward to seeing you. I can't wait, too. I think it's going to be great.
Yeah, sounds good, Dylan. You have a good one.
All right, you guys too.
Get that crew ready to go. You'll have a blast.
Oh, we will. We're ready to rock, man.
I wouldn't doubt it. That's Dylan.
Have a good one.
You betcha. That's Dylan Gosby, driver of the 91 on the Parts for Trucks Tour. Always a threat to win, Junior. He had some of the best races I've seen him run over the last 2 years. that guy's going to win a lot of races back to back. You watch.
The young talent in the Parts for Trucks Tour right now is insane, isn't it?
It is. Like, it's wicked.
When you look at Dylan Gosby, then you've got Dylan Blankhorn, you've got Cole Butcher right there.
Oh,
those
yeah.
three guys are really they're the next era of the Parts for Trucks Tour. And man, do they ever put out some nice equipment? They really do a great job. They can talk.
They got it.
They got the package.
Exactly. They got the whole thing.
Yep. And the neat part is you know the sponsorship out there. When you look at the Parts for Trucks Tour,
yep.
There's not a whole lot of blank cars.
No, not really. No,
there's not. And obviously, you know, you need sponsorship to be, you know, competitive on the money side, but it also shows there's a true, you know, statement there, just with how much influence the local communities and businesses have on that tour, and how much they invest as well. And it's really cool. And hearing him mention they're in talks with an Ontario company on the sponsorship side, that's really cool to hear as well.
Yeah.
It's so good to see the health building in that series.
Well, it's, you know what, that's money in the bank, really. If
100%.
You get on board that 91 car, it's
yep.
a damn good race car, good team. They give you 110% every time. I've never, ever seen Dylan Gosby lift and roll into the pits because he hasn't had a chance or doesn't figure he's got a chance to win the race. He's always moving forward. If he's not moving forward, I'll tell you what, the checkered flag has fallen, because that's the only way you're going to get him off the track. He's going to continue to move his way to the front. And that's the way they are out there. It's kind of cool, though, when they, you know, can pick up some support out of Ontario. I got to say, those broadcasts got to be doing their job.
100%.
When they know who these guys are. That's kind of cool. And that's what the Parts for Trucks Tour is all about. And I know we can't wait to kick it all off. We got 7 races to do in the Parts for Trucks Tour. And absolutely everybody worldwide is going to be able to enjoy every single lap. If you can't be at the track, trust me, you sit back and listen to one of those races. If you're anywhere close to the next one, you're going to go to it. They're the real deal, and it's awesome to watch. We're going to hit a quick break. When we come back, we're going to talk NASCAR Pinty's Racing. We got Sherry coming up. Just stay right there. We won't be too long. We'll be back with you.
I've been working my bag off on this race car, fixing it every week.
Oui, bonjour, Bruno Gaillette, gazman de la voiture numéro 27. Vous écoutez Race Time Radio.
From coast to coast, you're listening to Canada Talks.
Race Time Radio is fueled by BP Race Fuels, the worldwide leader in race fuel technology. Dawson Dental Centers. Get your victory lane smile at DawsonDental.ca.
SiriusXM.com/NASCAR. The location to vote for your favorite driver.
Dale Earnhardt Jr.
Danica Patrick.
Jimmy Johnson.
What shows are on throughout the day on SiriusXM NASCAR Radio.
The Morning Drive.
Trade and Feed.
SiriusXM Speedway.
Race schedules, sound clips from your favorite drivers.
And more.
Tune in to SiriusXM NASCAR Radio. Now available online at SiriusXM.com. And on the SiriusXM app for smartphones. SiriusXM.com/NASCAR.
Wherever you are,
Racetime Radio is there.
And the best part is,
it's free.
It's on your iPhone,
iPad,
BlackBerry,
Android,
or even the old way.
It's on your desktop, you little whippersnapper.
Get them, Gramps. Streaming live or on demand.
You'll get it at racetimeradio.com.
Racetime Radio is brought to you by the Quality Inn, Halifax Airport, the official stay of the Racetime Radio broadcast crew. Also by APX Racewear, the motorsports leader in custom crew apparel and fire suits. Also by the Wooden Door Bistro.
From the high banks of Daytona to the snow banks in Canada, we cover it all. Ooh, that's going to leave a mark. And now, back to the Joes.
Hey, shake and bake, Cal! Woo! Shake and bake!
And here on Racetime Radio.
Morning, dickhead.
Hello, moron.
Didn't have time to make new brakes today. Doing a bunch of renovations here at the at our house. And Junior and I and Susie and Grant stopped by today. Doing a lot of stuff. We got new kitchen flooring all going in. Anybody that knows me knows that that would be a huge challenge for a guy like me. And it is. It's a huge challenge. But is it ever rewarding, right? It looks great. Junior, I know you were cutting stuff yesterday, and you were cutting it right to the T. Man, looks good.
Yeah, it does. It's going to look really cool.
Yeah.
It's that laminate click flooring. Man, that stuff is cool, isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
It goes down so smooth.
Technology has come so far, you know, with everything.
You sound like an old guy saying
that. Well, yeah, I'm getting older. I got to be because the technology is starting to marvel me.
Get off my lawn.
But, you know, get off my lawn. I still know how to set the flashing clock on my VCR.
Well, that's good.
Yeah, considering no one has a VCR
electrical
anymore.
Tape.
Yeah, electrical tape.
Right across the face of
it. Works real good. Same thing with the engine light in my truck. Little piece of black tape works great.
Electrical tape, yep.
Well, I took it in to get it fixed, right? And there was the mechanic that works on my stuff does a really good job, I might add. He checks it out, and he said, you got a sensor gone. So he said, they're about $100. You want to switch it? I said, oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah. That light's driving me nuts on the dash. So we changed that sensor out. Sure enough, the light's off. Drive down the road. Halfway between his shop and my house, pop, the light comes back on.
Mm.
So I next time, yeah, I'm on the phone with him, and I said, must not have been the sensor because the light come back on. He goes, oh, no. No, it'll be a different sensor. There's a few of them in there. Next time you're in, I'll check it again. So I brought the truck back in. They plugged it back into the thing. And sure enough, no, it's showing that it's this sensor, not that one. But that one was shot. And Adrian said, yeah, for sure that one was shot. So the next time around, we change another sensor. Light goes out on the dash. I drive, I don't know, probably 2 or 3 days this time. And presto, on comes the light again. And, you know, if you get that little plastic thing in your gas cap wedged between your gas cap and the filler neck,
yep.
it'll trigger a thing, right? A code,
yep.
And you get the same light. So he said, that's probably what you did. I said, nah, I didn't fill it up. So we've got a bunch more sensors to change in my truck, I think. Either that or that little black tape's going to work just fine.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
I haven't had a vehicle that the check engine light wasn't on.
No.
I think every one of my vehicles that I've ever owned, check engine light comes on, she's good to go.
Yeah.
As long as she runs good.
Yeah.
Let her eat. Let her eat.
Well, I was driving home from the airport on Friday. Yeah, it was Friday. Last week, I was out at Eastbound. We had a great meeting to kick off our season. It was our registration driver's meeting. I got to thank anybody that's tuned in that was at that meeting. Got to thank you for coming out. We ended up, it was not bad weather all week until the meeting night comes up. On Thursday night, meeting's at 7 o'clock, and about 6 o'clock, freezing rain starts in St. John's. So I thought, man, we're not going to get anybody out to this meeting. It's too bad because we're really well prepared. And sure enough, by the meeting time rolls around, we had 79 people in that room. Which is just a marvel because there was like a half inch of ice on all the vehicles out in the parking lot. And I said, man, you guys are into this, and thank you so much for showing up. But we do have a good season all lined up at Eastbound International Speedway. If you got plans of going to Newfoundland on your holidays this year, make sure you look up eastboundpark.com. Check it out, eastboundpark.com, and make it out to Eastbound International Speedway. A beautiful facility out there, and you want to see some racing, I'm telling you what, these guys get her on out there in all four divisions. It's a beautiful facility. If you haven't seen it, go to eastboundpark.com, have a look at the racetrack. I believe your eyeballs will fly out of your head when you see that place if you haven't seen it yet. It's got Dragway Park. It's got the big oval track. I'm going to say, for listeners that are in the Ontario market, if you're looking for a comparison track, I'm going to say it compares up real good with Kawartha Speedway. It's about the same length, about the same banking. Really? And about the same speed as what you get at Kawartha Speedway. This is a little different facility, but have a look at it online. And make sure that if you're going to Newfoundland and you're coming into St. John's, you must go to that racetrack. It is a must. You got to see it. Every race fan in Canada has got to filter their way through that place. It's beautiful.
Yeah, for sure. And the stories that you have when you come back,
wow.
It sounds like there's some exciting stuff that happens out there.
There is.
As well.
There is.
It's an action-packed facility, and it seems like the guys that race there in all the divisions are definitely hard-nosed short track racers.
Oh, yeah. Don't piss them off.
Exactly.
Do not piss them off.
Yep.
That's what you don't want to do.
They all bring their friends to the racetrack.
They do. And they're dead nut serious about it. They do a good job. But, yeah, they keep it tame. Yeah, the tame is the other guys. But,
No, that's cool.
Dynamite stuff. Can't wait for the season to kick off out there. We got another Dynamite season lined up, and we're going to get underway. May 5th is practice day. And they've got cement pad rundles happening now, and they've got all the registration is all fired off. Pat Squires and Bob Smith and Mike James. Man, I love working with those guys, and I'll be back out there again this year. Working on that, doing the live broadcast over in Nova Scotia with Racetime Radio, with Jerry Paxton and Josh Paxton and Brad Mann and Tim Terry. We'll jump him in there. And
I want to
maybe even you, yeah, Junior.
I want to go to Mexico. Can I have some of your points?
No.
You spend a lot of time in an airplane.
I do. Yeah. Yeah. Well, it's pretty bad when you get on and the pilot says, "Hey, Joe, what's going on?"
The line route.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No kidding.
That's cool.
It's going to be good. We got some great guests coming up for you tonight. Right around, 10 minutes from now, we're going to get Sherry Putnam on this program. We'll talk the NASCAR Pindy Series. Lots to talk about. Some exciting stuff going on with the series. Great looking schedule, Junior, and I know you're going to be part of it. You're going to be in there with DJ this year, doing some spotting for the Castrol Edge Dodge.
Yeah, that should be a lot of fun. And obviously, looking at the schedule, you know, there's a lot of really good races that are lined up.
Tons.
I think, you know, I always like to circle, you know, kind of a favorite. And obviously, Mossport is really cool to go to every time. You know, Canadian Tire Motorsports Park is just a phenomenal facility. But, you know, last year was the first, twin race over at Wyatt Group Speedway. And it seemed like that was an amazing layout. And
two 100s, right?
Exactly, yeah. So I'm really excited to get out there and see that. The dual race on the same day at that beautiful Wyatt Group Speedway in Saskatoon. I'm really excited to see that. I think that is the one that I'm really excited to get to. As well, I think that, Jukasa, obviously, any time that a series can go to a track twice, the second race is always really cool because, it brings the cream to the top, you know, the cream rises to the top.
Yeah, and you get the numbers from the first time around.
Exactly.
Right?
Yeah, you gain a little bit more competition the second time around every season. And I'm really looking forward to seeing that.
Well, you were in the NASCAR Canadian Tire Series back in the day with J.R. Fitzpatrick. Was Edmonton International Raceway on the schedule then?
No.
And was it rebuilt?
It was Edmonton Indy.
It was Edmonton Indy when you were out
that
there.
That was a long time
ago. So you haven't seen Edmonton International Raceway since it's been redone.
No.
That you're going to enjoy.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's going to be a real... That's a tight track, but I'll tell you what, it's going to be one of those kinds of racetracks I know you're going to love.
Yeah, absolutely. From everything that I've seen, it's a really neat racetrack, and obviously tight confines. One of my favorite races, ever was the Canadian Tire race at Barrie Speedway.
Barrie, yeah.
It was awesome. Every single year, that race was phenomenal. The cars aren't going any faster than about 80 miles an hour.
No.
But it seemed like they're doing 200 miles an hour.
Yeah.
Because
put an old body on and have at her.
Exactly. It was the fiberglass 300 every year. It seemed like, the happiest guy leaving that racetrack every single year was
Tony
Novotny. Leaving Barrie Speedway. But, I love that style of racing, whether it be at Barrie Speedway back in the day or whether it be at Edmonton or, you know, even around here at Sauble Speedway. Sauble yeah. Speedway is a very tight racetrack, and I love watching, you know, 24 or 28 late models take the green flag at Sauble Speedway because it is so tight. You know, I like the higher speed stuff. I really do. I love, you know, a racetrack like Chucasa. I you know, have a special place in my heart for a racetrack of that size.
Right.
But ultimately, you know, I really, really enjoy very tight confines and action-packed racing.
Wow.
And I think that Edmonton will definitely be a really neat race.
You haven't seen Chatière either, have you?
I have not. No,
that's going to be another one. And from what I've seen, it looks real. It looks like a tight racetrack as well. And they've got a competition break in that one.
Yep.
You'll go back to St. Eustache. You were at St. Eustache, weren't you?
No.
No, you weren't at St. Eustache either.
There's a couple of races.
That's the one
DJ's,
I was at.
DJ's not going to want me to spot now. Yeah, I haven't seen
this
hardly any of these tracks.
A flat track. If you've never seen St. Eustache.
Yeah, it's a Walmart parking lot, right?
It is. Yeah. Oh, yeah. No, yeah. Zero banking.
Exactly.
Zero banking with the wall, and it's got Entertainment Plus.
Yeah.
If you can make your car turn, then you're going to do okay.
Yeah.
But if you need eight tires to turn, you're still going to do okay.
Yeah.
It's one of those kind of tracks.
Absolutely. Yeah, yeah. No, I've watched all the videos. There's lots of videos available on YouTube and of all these different race tracks. And definitely looking forward to checking out the schedule this year. I had a lot of fun at the Honda Indy Toronto.
Yes, you know, that's a great event.
That is an awesome event, and it's so cool that they're back, you know, at the Indy. Obviously, it's been a couple of years, you know, I absolutely love that event in general. You know, just the atmosphere. It's a different. You don't show up to a racetrack; you show up to a city, and you get to race.
Yeah, exactly. And, right downtown Toronto.
Yeah, it's really neat.
Yeah, hopefully this year you get Adam Andretti back too. Adam Andretti was in one of Steckley's cars for a couple of races last year. That guy. I'm telling you what, it changes the complexion of the series when you get guys like Adam Andretti that step in. And, there's other names that'll be stepping in to the NASCAR Pindy Series throughout the course of the year. And it adds a whole new level of excitement.
100%. Yeah, no, for sure. And, you know, you're seeing a lot more of it now, of course, with the Truck Series guys, you know, being able to test before heading up to Canadian Tire Motorsports Park. You're seeing, you know, the ability for the NASCAR Camping Truck Series guys. Christopher Bell comes to mind, Kaz Grala.
Yeah.
You know, the list goes on and on of guys who have raced both in you know, the Pinty Series and then as well in the trucks.
Yeah.
And, you know, there's a bunch of names that pop up and we've got one guy that we're going to talk to tonight.
Yeah. Oh, won't that be cool?
Yes.
That will. Yes. Well, we'll get to more of that in just a bit. We're going to hit this break, Junior. And then as promised, we're going to get Sherry Putnam on here and we're going to talk to the director of the NASCAR Pinty Series. We're going to do that next. Stay with us. We will be back in just a moment.
Hello, race fans. This is Adam Andretti, and you're listening to the best of Race Time Radio.
From coast to coast, you're listening to Canada Talks.
To Canada Talks.
Get your race fix anytime online.
www.racetimeradio.com.
Also available on Facebook.
Just search Racetime Radio.
And as always, you can drop us an email.
info@racetimeradio.com.
Racetime Radio is brought to you by the Quality Inn, Halifax Airport, the official stay of the Racetime Radio broadcast crew. Also by APX Racewear, the motorsports leader in custom crew apparel and fire suits. Also by the Wooden Door Bistro.
I'm Amber Mack.
I'm Michael B.
Every week on The Feed, we're going to talk about what's new now and next in the world of technology and social media.
Whether you want to know how to keep yourself safe online or get startup tips from today's hottest tech entrepreneurs, we've got you covered.
We'll also invite a team of experts from around the world to join us, the hottest social media stars on the internet.
The Feed is your show for nonstop tech talk about what's new now and next.
Weekends on Canada Talks.
Sirius XM, channel 167.
Sirius XM NASCAR Radio.
Radio. This is what you get when you work hard.
Hell yeah.
Get it.
We're going to the front.
Run, baby.
Make it down at the end.
Turn four for the final time.
Inside, dig hard.
Yeah.
Ring the bell, baby.
Woo!
Here comes the rest of the pack.
You're home for NASCAR.
Dale Earnhardt Jr.
Carl Edwards.
Richard Petty.
Danica Patrick.
Jimmy Johnson.
Jeff Gordon.
Tony Stewart.
All right, I'm out of here.
Sirius XM NASCAR Radio, Channel 90.
Racetime Radio is fueled by BP Race Fuels, the worldwide leader in race fuel technology. Dawson Dental Centers. Get your victory lane smile at DawsonDental.ca.
Gentlemen, start your engines!
Yeah, I've been better, but it's cost me more. The sun comes up long before I do.
And welcome back, everybody, to Race Time Radio. Little Tommy Gillum bringing us back once more. Yeah, he's got a lot of good tunes. Check him out, TommyGillum.com. And he's got a lot of great, great tunes in there. And our next guest is up on the hotline. And let's talk some NASCAR Pinty Series racing, shall we, with the director. We have Sherry Putnam with us. Sherry, how you doing tonight?
I'm doing all right, Dave. Sorry. I've got Dave on our brain. We've had some shocking news this weekend. We've lost one of our teammates, Dave Rushton.
Yes.
Dave and Nancy were the two that would greet and talk with our supporters and our fans at each event. And my team and I are at extreme loss of our dear friend, and he'll truly be missed. And
absolutely.
We're just thinking about thoughts and prayers out to his family at this time.
Absolutely. And same with us. Our thoughts to all of the whole team and, of course, Dave's family. That's terrible news, and nothing that nobody ever wants to hear. He's going to be missed. I know I didn't have the fortune of knowing Dave, but I do know a lot of the team there at the NASCAR Pinty Series, and I was back and forth with Doug Gonder today, and he actually was telling me that the loss is there, and he said Dave was one of those awesome guys, and I know he's going to be missed. But he'll be looking down on us, Sherry. You can guarantee it. He won't miss a NASCAR Pinty's race.
No, he won't.
No. And you guys got a dynamite schedule all laid out for fans right across the country. Let's start with the show. How did things go at the Motorama show? I know you guys had a great display set up. It looked like lots of excitement.
Yes, we had a little change in our venue this year, and on the 30th of January, NASCAR developed a new leadership team, which is in charge with the growing of the NASCAR brand of racing internationally. So Jim Cassidy and his team will oversee all the international competition and building on the success with the three national series, us in the Pinty Series, Mexico, and Euro. So that was part of our group down, our events team down south that designed all that and brought a new look, and we were really excited for that to showcase, just some new different ideas and our cars. So we was very good show. The show itself at Motorama, it was outstanding. It seemed like everybody stepped it up. So great attendance. Got to talk to a lot of people. So we were very happy with that event.
Yeah, you got to love it. And Sherry, this is your second year now as the director. Things sort of seeded in. How are you enjoying it?
Good. We have some excitement we're working on for this year, so we're always trying to make it better, trying to, you know, to change a few things in a good way. So we're really excited to get this season up and starting. Obviously, our weather here is starting to change, which seems to be a little better than our national series in Martinsville. So they got the weather we should have had, and we got the weather they probably would have wanted. So we're just looking for that warm weather to come and get those cars on those tracks.
Yeah, I think it was Stu Friesen. He sent a video out, kind of looked like, I don't know, whether it kind of looked like a snowplow, to tell you the God's honest truth. When I seen the tweet, he said, I've never seen one of these going around Martinsville. And I couldn't resist. I had to quote tweet it and say, that's DJ Kennington and that, showing off his Canadian talent again.
Yes, that's what I thought when I saw that as well, Joe.
Pretty amazing. We feel for them down there, but we're gonna be in for a great Monday. This is going to be a satisfying Monday, we should call it.
Yes.
For all us race fans.
Yes.
Yeah, it's going to be incredible. Big races tomorrow. If you missed it, the action today at Martinsville. is snowed out until tomorrow, but you're going to get your eyes full tomorrow. It truly will be amazing. Sherry, when you look at the NASCAR Pindy Series for 2018, I guess the first point of business is that brand new Chevy Camaro body to mix in with those beautiful looking Dodges. Now we've got something cooking here. We got some different manufacturers involved. That's cool.
Yeah, we're really, really happy with the turnout on the Camaro this year. It's a racy looking car, and we've added a little bit of modifications to all our other manufacturers as well, with the rocker panels and the rear extensions on the quarters. So I think the cars are going to look a little bit more beefier, but still represent a street car. So we're really looking forward to the look on the track this year. So pretty excited about that.
I got to ask you, we see Chevrolet in there now with the Camaro. We know the Dodges are in there. Well, are we ever going to see a Toyota? Is there any talks in behind the scenes that we one day may see a Toyota in NASCAR Pindy's racing?
Well, we always hope and we always look to move forward. So that's something that we continue to work on with growing our series. So it's always something that you know, we hope to have in the future.
Never say never, right?
Never say never.
Ah, there you go. things are going to kick off at Canadian Tire Motorsport Park. That's going to be race number one for the year. How's the momentum? How's the entry list looking, or is it too early to tell?
It's too early to tell. I think our silly season goes a little longer here in Canada, and the teams are just starting to, I think it's with the weather, the sun and the shine, their memberships are starting to come through, the owner, you know, memberships are coming through. So I think within the next couple weeks here, we should have a little bit better idea of what cars we'll have. You know, there could be still some announcements out there. We look forward to hearing that, and it's always their story to tell on how hard they've worked in the off season. So we just wait to hear from them of any owners or drivers that, you know, may have done a combination this year and is going to head out to our tracks and run with us.
Isn't it funny? Sometimes, and there's a lot of race teams like this, that will keep things totally under wraps until just before the season's ready to kick off. And maybe it's the bang for the buck, so to speak. But they hold that information back, and then, ba-boom, we end up with a pile that we didn't even know we were going to get.
Yeah, and that's what's exciting about, you know, us up here. Our season is short, and I think it's great. I think it's great for people to keep that little bit of secret and that excitement. It'll draw more attention, and, you know, it's some new news coming into the season. If we say everything in the off season, we don't have anything new. So I'm really happy when people, you know, kind of shock some of us by just dropping a late announcement up.
Absolutely. Sherry, one thing that, you know, is pretty cool, and it's got to be a feather in the cap of the Pinty series in general, but really for the first time, we've obviously seen a bunch of competitors go down south and race, you know, part-time in one of the top three series, you know, whether it be DJ or Hathaway or any of those guys going down and turning laps. But really, this is the first time when a NASCAR Pinty's champion has moved on and went full-time into the NASCAR Xfinity Series with Alex Labbé. I just wanted to kind of, you know, get, you know, see if there has been any, you know, news about that and just kind of get the feel for how that has all, you know, kind of played out in the offices in Ontario.
Well, we're all always excited, and that's what we hope for, that our drivers get the experience here. We have a lot of talent in Canada, and it's nice to see that an opportunity is given, and very, very, very proud of our champion going down there and displaying, you know, his talent. He's doing an extremely well job for not being on half the tracks, not seeing half the tracks. So, you know, that's always our hope here, and that's what we build for, and hope that this is kind of their training ground and their stepping stone to move up to the National Series. So really, really impressed with Alex. Very, very proud of him. Obviously proud of DJ and the opportunities he's receiving. And, you know, if there's any way and anyhow we can do anything in Canada or even with NASCAR to help them, that's what we always hope to strive for.
Yeah, the more years go by and the more competitors that seem to come through, the NASCAR Pindy Series has really found its spot, so to speak, in the proving ground to go on and to race down in the U.S. man, you almost need that experience before you go trucking across the border with a boatload of cash. You can blow it in a hurry if you haven't got the right, you know, experience.
Yeah, we hate to see them leave, but I always am proud of the opportunity they get. So we'd never want to hold any of them back.
Yeah, pretty exciting stuff. When you look through the schedule, we've got traditional racetracks that the NASCAR Pinty Series has visited over the last, 4 or 5 years, so the tradition stays alive. This year, staring right at us, is a big race going to be at Loudoun this year. You guys are going to New Hampshire for the first time. We're going to have a Canadian series do a headline show at a U.S. racetrack. That's cool stuff.
It is really cool. It's it was great the New Hampshire group was up at Motorama promoting. They have a lot of stuff on the go that they're working at, of fan interactions and really promoting the Pinty Series. They've been researching us, watching old races. They are excited to have us, and we're really looking forward to be there.
How huge is it now that Jukasa Speedway is up and alive, right? Those guys needed, everybody in Canada needed that racetrack to really be up and running. And look at what we've got now to gain the experience that those guys are going to need to get on something bigger than a 5/8 mile racetrack. If it wasn't for Jukasa, I'd feel sorry for the guys running anything to go on a 1 mile racetrack. But, man, they're in good shape now.
Yes, they are. We're really happy to be back at Jukasa. A lot of memories for a lot of racers in this series, and including myself. So they've done a stellar job with the facility, and they're always looking to improve it, even in the short time of their operation. So we're just looking forward to growing with them.
Sherry, I've got to give you and everybody on the NASCAR Canadian side a huge props and really an outstanding job at getting the schedule out earlier. This year was the earliest I've ever seen a
you
NASCAR.
Been around for a couple of years. They've done it at the banquet for the last couple of years.
Really? Yeah. That was the first time. That was the first time that I've seen it. Where
you're forgiven. You were in the U.S.
I was.
Yeah,
I was.
I
didn't even see the schedule. But this one here, you know, you guys are getting the schedule out earlier than in the past, and that's got to be a huge undertaking to get that lined up earlier.
Yeah, it is. Joe's right. Joe Senior's right. We've had it before at the banquet, but this is the first time I think we've ever had it before going into PRI.
Gotcha.
It helps. It helps the teams to be able to go out there and gain their sponsorship. It helps the teams and the crews to be able to book off the time they need due to some and most working full-time schedulers. So the sooner that we can lock down the schedule, it just helps everybody, and it does help our office to start prepare because we get that extra couple months to jump and work with the promoters and get things going. Our season is short, and some people wonder what we do in the off season. Well, we're always looking to make it better. So that extra time, knowing where you're going, really does help to secure a lot of things with all the promoters and the tracks.
We're with Sherry Putnam tonight. She is the director for the NASCAR Pinty Series. We have her tonight on the hotline. Sherry, got to ask you, we see the different competitors that come through the series, and man, we've had some dynamite competitors come through, and I know we got a whole slew of them for 2018. Is there much talk about the farm system for the series and where our next competitors are going to come from in 2019, 20, and beyond?
Well, that's what we're hoping to work with this new international team. It's really great to work with a corporation that has so many resources with it. You know, we're not alone. We have people that have experience, and it's going to help us build the series. So we're really looking forward to the support, the changes ahead that this new international with Jim Cassidy and Chad Siegler is going to do and help us. So it's nice that we can just concentrate on competition, and they're going to help us build the brand, and they've already been doing a lot of research, so they've been working very hard over this last couple months.
That's very cool. Can't wait to see the fruits of their labor, so to speak. It's something that's needed to be done. Glad to hear that things are starting to come together in that respect. Do you ever see the day where we may have some guys from Mexico or Europe coming over and jumping into the NASCAR Pinty Series for a race or two?
That would be great, and I'm sure that, I don't I can't see that not happening, Joe. I can't see that we can't get other people into our cars. We're displaying a good product on the track, and we just got to continue to build forward.
Well, we got good products on the shelves with Pindy's, and we got great product going on the racetrack in 2018. Sherry, can't wait for it. It's going to be a dynamite year. I know we're all looking forward to it. And we really want to appreciate and thank you for your time tonight and coming on here and taking the grilling from Junior and I. And can't wait for the season to kick off. It's going to be exciting.
Well, I appreciate you both having me on.
Yeah, you want to believe it. You have a good one, and we'll check in with you again as maybe we get closer through the season. Sound good?
Sound good, and happy Easter to both of you.
You want to believe it. Same with you, Sherry. And that's Sherry Putnam. And Joe, it's going to be a good year. These guys are gearing up. Good to hear that there's some different things happening in the background. It's all exciting stuff.
Yeah, 100%. And really, when you look at you know what's coming down the pipe for the Pinty Series, you know, on the competition side, I think this year, you know, every year it seems to get tighter and tighter on the competition side, but I think this year is going to be you know, exceptional on the competition side.
Oh yeah.
There's some heavy hitters stepping into the series and you know, on the full-time side and on the part-time side as well. You know, you've got guys like Donald Teige and you know, we had Steckley on the program not too long ago talking about that program that he's got put together over there. And, you know, obviously the Dumoulin brothers, you know, towards the end of last year, they started really stepping up their program. We've obviously talked to JF and to LP, you know, they're going in guns a-blazing to go get their championship, as well. So, you know, when you look at the names, I don't think that there's a whole lot of differences in the names that are going to be in the series full time that are running for points.
Right.
But I think what you're going to see is, you know, just a different outlook overall, especially now that it's a little bit less emphasis on the road course side.
Right.
There's a little bit more of an emphasis on the ovals, and that's going to separate, you know, the field again, sort of.
Right. Put it back into a different set of hands. I see where you're going with that.
Yeah.
With more ovals than road courses.
Yeah.
And meanwhile, the whole time, the guys that were good on ovals and maybe not so good on road courses have really started to come on road courses.
Exactly.
That's got to, yeah, that pendulum could swing them back over to that side of the fence, if you will.
Yeah, yeah. For the longest time, we've seen, you know, oval veterans out there dominating in the Canadian Tire Series, even
right.
In CASCAR, when it was CASCAR. They went to a few road courses,
right?
But they were in oval series. And the past couple of years, you know, towards the end of the NASCAR Canadian Tire Series and then into the NASCAR Pinty Series era, really it's been a road course dominated series.
Yeah.
And really you needed to be very, very good on a road course in order to go out and win one of those championships. And you know, when you look at now, you're a little bit more competitive on the oval side,
right.
And as well, you've got a couple of dual events on the ovals, where you're at, you know, Jucasa twice, and then as well you're at Shoddy, or not Shoddy Air, Wyatt Group Speedway. There's
right.
Two. That's 4 points paying races on two racetracks. So really you've got the opportunity, if you run good at all four of those, that should be a focus for everybody.
I love those double 100 lap races where it splits in the middle and you get double the points.
Mm-hmm.
That's cool.
Mm-hmm.
That's cool. Unless you wreck out in the first one and you can't get fixed up to come up for the second
one. You gotta bring a second car, my friend.
Well, yeah, yeah. And these guys have got backup cars.
Absolutely.
For the most part.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, you need to, you gotta have one in the rack for sure. For that Western trip. If you don't,
yeah.
you got to take it easy in your first couple races.
Yeah, you could be in big trouble right now, in a hurry.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
yep,
it could ruin your West Coast holiday. You can just about guarantee that.
One thing that I really like is the West Coast swing this year is significantly shorter than what we've seen in the past.
Yeah.
You know, when I spotted with J.R. Fitzpatrick, that West Coast swing was deadly. It was like a 2.5 week, you know, It was a tough schedule. It was a grind.
And then they were going back and forth and flying all over.
Yeah, and really, when you look at it now, you drive out west, you hit Edmonton. on the same week, on the Wednesday, you hit Wyatt Group Speedway on your way home.
Right.
That's awesome. They, yeah. As much as I'd like to see a race at on the BC side, whether it be at Vernon or a different racetrack out there, as much as I'd like to see that, to be honest, the cost savings alone is tremendous the way that it's structured right now.
Good deal. We're going to hit the top of the hour here. We're going to throw it back to Toronto, do a quick news update, and then we're coming back with you for hour two. Jeff Foltz is coming up. We've even got Noah Gregson coming in, and we're going to hear from Dave Franks. We got lots coming at you in hour number two, so stay right there. Don't go anywhere. Junior and I will be back in just about 90 seconds. Stay there.
You're listening to Canada Talks on Sirius XM, channel 167.
Racetime Radio is fueled by BP Race Fuels, the worldwide leader in race fuel technology. K&K Insurance, insuring the world's fun. Dawson Dental Centers, get your victory lane smile at DawsonDental.ca. And by Bobbleheads Canada. Visit BobbleheadsCanada.ca.
Best team in the business.
And the fans hear me right now on this.
Nobody gets you closer to the drivers than SiriusXM NASCAR Radio.
Our NASCAR Nation.
All
yeah, we're here.
Things.
Learn as much as we can.
Racing.
Get ready to rock and roll here.
SiriusXM NASCAR Radio.
It's about keeping our fans involved. Lots of times I hear things and I go back and I'm like, man, you know what? That guy was right or that lady's right.
It's all on SiriusXM NASCAR Radio, channel 90.
Take a flag here, baby.
Or on your phone when you get out of the car with the SiriusXM app.
We're back with our number two of Racetime Radio
on Sirius XM 167,
where Canada talks.
And just like that, our number two begins here. So glad you could tune in tonight. If you're tuned in on the Performance Motorsport Network.com, hello to you. Or how about Gearhead Country Radio on a Monday night? Hello to you. Sure do appreciate you tuning in wherever you're tuned in on racetimeradio.com or on SiriusXM channel 167. We're just one great big happy family all over the place here. We have been bumped a couple of times here over the last few weeks on SiriusXM channel 167 due to hockey games. And we're going to be back. We'll get the April schedule here probably about midweek this week. So, any of our SiriusXM channel 167 interested listeners will be able to regain the show on there. But I know everybody's tuning in on all those various ways that I've mentioned over the last couple moments. But Junior, we got a whale of hour number two coming up here. We got Jeff Foltz coming up. Big race at Myrtle Beach. It was the Cars Tour. And how about this? Jeff Foltz goes to victory lane. We're used to seeing him, at least I've seen him a couple of times at the IWK 250 and watched Jeff Foltz in action myself. But he is a huge, huge U.S. racer, does real well, and good to see him in victory lane once again.
100%. And Fury Race Cars, how about them?
Yeah.
They are putting out some numbers. And really, when you look at Fury and what they're doing and what they're putting together, Jeff has strapped into every different type of car out there. He is, at heart, a big super late model guy. And it's going to be really cool to catch up with Jeff, and we'll go from there.
Yeah, look at the racers that were in this race with him. You got Jeff Foltz. It was Chandler Smith in second spot. Ryan Moore. We see Ryan Moore all the time running at New Smyrna Speedway through Speed Weeks. He had the 74 out there. Jeff Batten was on the racetrack. Anthony Cattarelli.
Cattarelli.
Okay. Anthony was out there. The 51, Raphael Lessard was on the racetrack. Ended up finishing, what's that, fifth, sixth, something like that. Corey Heim was on the racetrack, finishing up right behind Raphael. There was a lot of great names. Gus Dean was in the race. Cody Connor was in this one.
Yep.
Some real heavy hitters in that Cars Tour. And pretty cool, too. Those Cars Tours races, you can watch them.
Yeah.
You can actually watch them online. Live coverage of it. And dynamite job. You see Tony Stevens does a spectacular job with Pit Row TV, and I know they're coupled in with
Cars TV
once again.
Yeah, and when you look at Myrtle Beach Speedway, that place is no joke. It is a fast, fast racetrack, and I was down there for not last year, but the year before, helping a buddy of mine out. And when you look at the...
Oh, is that the track you were at?
Yeah.
Was Myrtle Beach?
Yeah, we went to Myrtle Beach, and that racetrack is really cool. They used to hold Busch races back in the day, and obviously they ran Busch North, and they usually have a couple modified races throughout the year, and then as well, they have a weekly schedule. But the racetrack itself is very fast,
yeah,
and there's not a whole lot of grip. It's got lots of character to it. And when you watch a super late model race at Myrtle Beach, man, are they flying.
Yeah, and you got a lot of tire management to do on a track like that, right? You got to nail the setup, you got to take care of those tires, and you really got to take it easy when you're on there. So it's a tough task to go out there and win one of these babies.
Yep.
You got to be in the right spot, right time, and you got to be there all day.
Yeah, absolutely. When you look at the Cars Tour and the schedule that they go to, really that racetrack is one of the fastest ones that they show up to. They get after it, and they usually have a decent car count, at every one of their shows. When you look at the speed at Myrtle Beach compared to a racetrack like Hickory, or Tri-County or one of those, it is the crown jewel of Southern super late model racing. I think it's got the best of everything. You can run up top, you can run through the middle, you can run three wide around that whole place, and competitively, I think that it's a racetrack that you would love.
Yeah, is that?
It is.
Yeah, it's 100%. A racy track, three wide every now and then.
Oh, yeah, no, like a lot.
Yeah, a lot.
Yeah.
I know that race that you were down there, yeah, and you were spotting. What was the number? 43, wasn't it?
Oh, yeah, 43? No, that was a different.
That was a different track?
That was at Orange County.
Oh, yeah, 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 that's exactly where. That's why I didn't know if it was Myrtle Beach.
No, Orange County. That I spotted for David Calabrese and those guys.
Yeah.
That was a really cool racetrack as well, but Myrtle Beach is much further south than Orange County, but I would have to pull it up to show you. But the grandstands are huge, mm-hmm. just like because they used to have Xfinity races and everything there,
right?
The racetrack is very fast.
It's
a very fast racetrack, and really the bumps that are in it are more like swells.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's not like sharp, jagged bumps like you see at Hickory or, any of the Orange County even.
Right.
Those have very, very sharp bumps. At Myrtle Beach, it's more of a swell.
Oh, really?
And, yeah, the cars kind of
lift
roll.
Off halfway
yeah,
through.
It's really cool. They unload and load like three or four times before they get to the corner each time, but each lap. And hard place to get a hold of.
Well, we're going to hit this quick break. We're working on Jeff Foltz, trying to get him on the air. We're going to do that in this break. Hopefully have Jeff on the other side. We will be back with you in just a moment. You just stay there.
Hi, race fans. This is Brad Keselowski. You're listening to Race Time Radio.
You're listening to Canada Talks on Sirius XM, Channel 167.
So, you missed a broadcast.
Well, no problem.
Racetime Radio is available on demand.
Look at it as your listener lucky dog.
And it's free.
Check it out at racetimeradio.com.
Click the day you missed, and you're back on the lead lap.
Hi, it's Eric Alper, host of At That Eric Alper Show, heard on SiriusXM Canada Talks, Channel 167. Each week, I go behind the scenes with the artists that you love and the artists that are soon to be on your playlist. We do in-depth interviews, in-studio performances, fun trivia, and lists that you won't find anywhere else. That's That Eric Alper Show, SiriusXM Canada Talks, Channel 167.
Racetime Radio is fueled by BP Race Fuels.
the worldwide leader in race fuel technology. Dawson Dental Centers. Get your victory lane smile at DawsonDental.ca.
SiriusXM's Radio Classics has dramas from the golden age of radio.
The Shadow Node.
Escape.
Inner Sanctum Mysteries.
From mysteries.
I know many strange tales.
Mystery is my hobby.
To sci-fi.
Countdown for blast-offs.
Adventures in time and space.
Dramas from the golden age of radio.
Evil lurks in the hearts of men.
We're on Radio Classics, SiriusXM 82.
Come on in.
Get your race fix anytime online.
www.racetimeradio.com.
Also available on Facebook.
Just search Racetime Radio.
And as always, you can drop us an email.
info@racetimeradio.com.
Hey everybody, I'm Kenny Chesney.
Everything gets hotter when the sun goes down.
No Shoes Radio is a reflection of my life. Songs from my friends and heroes.
Hi, it's Joe Walsh.
This is Grace Potter.
Red rocker Sammy Hagar here, and I got my shoes off.
And you're going to hear me sing songs with those friends and heroes.
With us, with Stevie Guitar Miller.
Big old Jet.
SiriusXM brings you channels you can't hear anywhere else.
No Shoes Radio.
Exclusively on SiriusXM Channel 57.
Racetime Radio is back.
Freedom feeds the hunger. I'm hungry for speed. Leave life flat at red light, pedal down, push it into the
end. And welcome back, everybody, to Racetime Radio. One more time, Larry Berrio. You got to get to LarryBerrio.com. Check it out. He's got a lot of good tunes. You want some really good tunes to listen to, LarryBerrio.com. Check him out. No Guts, No Glory, RPM. He's got a whole raft of them.
Big good. Race fan.
Oh, huge.
Huge race fan.
Huge.
The guy absolutely loves racing, and he does a good job with it.
You got to see his setup. It is unbelievable to see him on stage. That he's an entertainer. Trust me. You want to see Larry Berrio before you die. That's the guy you want to go see.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Cool.
I've seen a lot of big acts.
Yeah.
Larry isn't a huge act, but I can tell you what, he does a tremendous job on the stage. But just like our next guest does a tremendous job on the racetrack, and he did another whale of a job at Myrtle Beach this weekend in the Cars Tour. Let's welcome in the winner of that Baker Distributing 200. We got Jeff Foltz with us. Jeffrey, what's going on? How you doing?
Oh, I'm doing great, guys. Just got back to Mooresville and getting everything unloaded and enjoying a little bit of the victory.
I bet. You got to love that champagne. That smell inside that race car has got to be something else right now.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, all the guys are really excited. I mean, they got back, and for all the hard work that the Walker Motorsports and all the people that put everything kind of together just to go down there with the new Fury race car, it was really fun, and everything went our way, and I love racing there, and we just had a really good race.
Safe to say that race car is well worth its weight in gold, that baby. Take us through the race. How was it? Did you have the lead all day, or did you sneak up and get them at the end?
No, we had the lead most of the time. I mean, you have to ride a lot there, and I think everybody kind of rode, and some of the guys rode a little more than they needed to probably, and then I think some of them struggled trying to pass back later on. But I just basically, when we got to the lead there right off the second lap or first lap, and we just set the pace, and I just don't like to ever get back and get into a bunch of stuff and then you can't control what you got. So I just basically set the pace to where I wanted to be, and then just hopefully I had enough at the end, and we had plenty at the end. And our car, literally the only time it ever slowed down was me making mistakes with the last couple laps of the race. I made a little bit of mistakes just worrying about trying to keep that young guy Chandler Smith off the off of me, and about just messed up a little bit right there at the end, let him get to me. But other than that, I mean, it was I just go there to race anywhere I go. I don't want to run, you know, the tires off of you. You got to be real smart. But also, too, I don't like to go there to any racetrack and just ride around way, way slow and then not have a race. We're there to race. We're there for days at a time, and to ride around and back in the back and stuff like that, I just not me.
Jeff, obviously, with Fury race cars, you're hearing some crazy things come out of that camp, and everybody that straps into one seems to just rave about it after. But you've strapped into probably a million different styles of late models over your career. Talk to us a little bit about that Fury car, and obviously you ended the day in victory lane, so that's a good thing. But what's it like to work on and work with, and what are those guys like to work with?
Well, the biggest thing is when we opened Fury, me and Tony and Darius and all of us got together and Mike Fritz, and we put this thing together, and we're all racers, and that's the biggest thing. And I always loved super late model racing. I've drove for Port City to Frankie Grill to Hamke, and everybody builds the great cars. But, the biggest thing I like is I have support for customers. When you're at the racetrack, try to make things really simple. A lot of the builders that did at Frankie Grill made really, and Augie used to make cars real simple, where it made it kind of where if you're at the racetrack, you had support there from, if there's four or five cars there, you had support for everybody kind of work together as a team. The biggest thing with our cars is the way we build them, they come off the jigs the same. They're always consistent. Everything we build is consistent. Our chassis, our interiors, our rear ends, everything we do, our whole network that we put together to build the race cars. And that makes it easier for anybody that races a super late model. It just makes it easier for them because they got backing and they got consistency in their chassis and our parts. So that's what we've really worked hard to make things really nice and clean for everybody and simple. And then I probably tested 80% of the cars with people. And just this car race this weekend, we had a lot of help from different people. And Stephen Wallace gave us the shocks off his car just to borrow. I took them straight off his car from Op, Alabama, and put them on his car. Rolled it up on the surface plate, brand new car, and the heights were perfect. Didn't even have to put on scales. Went to the racetrack and scaled it there, and it was perfect. So that's how close our cars are. So it just makes it a lot easier for us and with the Fury chassis just to make sure that we can help people. And consistency is really big for us. And then when you drive them, there's no comparison. And Casey Roderick just got one last week and drove it. And everybody that drives them, I just ask them, when you drive it, just let me know what you think. Every person I've talked to, every person that's drove them has just been amazed about how badass I always say these cars are.
I echo that. I've heard a bunch of different guys say that when they get out of them. That's definitely cool. Jeff, one big piece of news locally here, up here in Ontario. You guys are going to have your first Fury car north of the border on the Ontario side in the APC series with Sean Grossman. Have you been working with Sean at all? And are we going to see you come up here to that big $25,000 to win late model race at Chucasa?
Yeah, I've been working with Sean quite a bit. I mean, they're building a new car. And we're going to come up there and test with them and things like that. I mean, our car, just because of the rules up there, we'd love to have more cars up there. We have a lot over in Nova Scotia with King Racing and all them people over there got cars with Cassius Clark. But Sean's been really great to work with, and Ryan's going to be a great little driver. We just seen that he's got a lot of talent. He's fast, and that's what we like. We just like to work with racers that love to do it and want to win and that we can help. And then, so we've been pretty excited about it, but we'll definitely be up there. I'm hoping to maybe run something up there, and that I know I'm going to run the IWK race and a couple of them over in Riverside. But I'd like to come up and run that if we can work it out, and we'll see what happens down the road with that.
Well, I know. I look forward to catching up with you for the IWK 250. That's going to be a killer race again. How much different, Jeff, is your IWK 250 car from last year to the one you just won at Myrtle Beach? Is there much difference between the two?
Well, they're not chassis-wise or anything like that. Last year, we had a good car every year we've been there. But last year, we had a motor. Something happened with the motor in the race. The year before, we had a really great car, same car. Andrew and them had a great repair car for me and Cassius. But the year before, we broke a throttle rod in the middle of the race. And then last year, it just broke. Something broke in the motor, and it didn't have tons of laps on it, but something broke in a lifter or something like that. So, the chassis-wise, the handle of the car is good. I led a little bit of it. I really want to make sure we're going to try to make something a little better. We'll make sure everything's fresh and everything's ready to go. Them guys race a lot up there. So, I can't take away from their program. We're just lucky enough to be able to come up and race when Rolly asked me, do you want to do this? I'm like, I'd love to come up there and race you. You know, but I can't take away from Cassius's program or Andrew's primary program is number one. So we're kind of secondary. So they put a couple of the guys together here and there, and they're great guys to work with. But it's, you know, it's not, there's nothing wrong with the cars. It's just basically, you know, we just prepare ourselves a little bit more for this year, and we'd love to go up there and win because that's such a good place to race. All the fans are awesome. And then I'd love to get a win up there.
Well, this year you'll have a shot at Kenny Wallace, too. He was announced. We had him on the program last week. Kenny's coming in for the IWK. He's going to be in the Nova race team secondary car, and it's going to be off the hook this year, and I know we look forward to catching up with you.
Oh, yeah. Can't wait.
Yeah, it's dynamite stuff. Congratulations on the win at Myrtle Beach. What's your next race, Jeff?
I don't know when I'll run again. I mean, our next race, we have Hickory this weekend, and then, you know, I love to race. If we just get a weekend off, I might go race. I got the Tour Modified that we might run. I love to run Concord, Myrtle Beaches, and Winchester's, or, you know, I don't care where to race that. If there's a weekend off and my guys ain't worked to death or some of my friends just want to go race, and I'll drive, you know, Lee Falk's car or some, one of our customers. What I try to do is if we sell a car and a customer wants to evaluate it, we'll go take it, and if they want me to run it, I'm thankful they just put me in it. I just show up and drive it, and then it helps their program a little bit because I can make sure that everything's kind of baseline right. But both cars I've drove for Lee Falk and for Walker Motorsports, is there was nothing I really had to do. The cars are really good. It's just basically just kind of tune a little bit things, a couple little changes, and the cars have been fast. So I'm just, if they want me to drive them, I love to drive them and have some fun, and on the weekends that I can do it.
Well, they couldn't go wrong getting a guy like you, Jeff Foltz, behind the wheel. Dynamite stuff. Congratulations on the win. And we thank you so much for your time tonight on Race Time. We look forward to catching up with you again, if not before the IWK 250, for sure that weekend.
Definitely. I appreciate you guys having me on and look forward to seeing you guys again.
Absolutely. That's Jeff Foltz, winner at Myrtle Beach this weekend in the Cars Tour. Always dynamite to watch Jeff Foltz on a racetrack, Joe.
Oh, yeah, for sure. He just a wealth of knowledge, and you know, it's cool. We've had Gary Crooks on the program, you know, last week, and now we got Jeff Foltz. We're doing the chassis builder roundup here.
Yeah, we sure are. Speaking of fast on a racetrack, I know this next guest can't wait till tomorrow where he can get his truck back on the racetrack at Martinsville. Got to welcome in Noah Gregson. What's going on, Noah? Thanks for holding on us.
Yeah, how are you guys doing?
Doing fantastic, my man. Has the snow gone yet? Has the weather changed at all?
It's still pretty rough up there in Martinsville. I'm not up there right now. I'm back in Mooresville, so I don't know exactly how much snow is there. But just from the pictures I've seen, there's a lot of snow up there the past couple of days.
Yeah, absolutely. What's that do to the psyche? Man, you were behind the wheel of your truck flying around, and all of a sudden you see snow starting to fly. That must have blew your mind.
Yeah, I mean, we were getting ready to fire up the engines, and they just called the command to fire them up, and then snow was coming down on the windshield, and it was like half snow, half rain, so it was definitely different, but we got the first 20 laps in, and then the rest is kind of history.
Absolutely. Noah, obviously, you're sitting P9 right now in the lineup. You know, when you guys go back to green tomorrow at 11 a.m., how's the truck? Obviously, you know, watching through practice and things like that, you guys seem to have a pretty good piece for this weekend. You're a favorite to take home another clock, my friend.
I don't think we're all that great. Hopefully, in the race, we can help tune our safe light on the glass. Switched away to Tundra. Just been struggling a lot this weekend, finding that tuned up balance. That's not going to stop us from working hard. We still have a couple more opportunities to make pit stops throughout the race, and hopefully we can throw a few more Hail Marys at it with those few changes to make it better.
Absolutely. Hey, another thing, we got an interesting piece of news. You know, earlier this week, I was speaking with your counterpart there, Mr. McReynolds, and he told me you were coming up north of the border here and going to be turning some laps in a Pinty's car.
Yep, I'm going to be racing that. I don't really know when that race is. All I know is that I'm going to be driving in it. So I'm thankful for the opportunity to be able to race with those guys up there and get to know the Modsport track a little bit better. hopefully to prepare me for the truck race up there.
Well, you should put it in your calendar. It's May 20th.
Good to know.
Yeah. Good to know. Yeah. You're going to love that racetrack, Noah. It's a wicked, wicked road course. It's not only a racer's track, but it's a lot of fun to drive on, too. I know you're going to do phenomenal in one of those Pindy's cars. You're going to have a good weekend.
Yeah, I got to test there last year with DJ Kennington in one of their cars up there, and I actually ran the truck race there, too, ended up second, so a lot of fun, but hopefully we're just running that race just to prepare us a little bit more, get a little extra seat time, a little more advantage on the competition.
Incredible. You've had a good start to the 2018 season in the NASCAR Camping World Truck Series. How do you score it so far from a personal standpoint when you look at the short, what have you guys got in, like 3-4 races? Give us a scorecard on how you think you're doing.
I think I'm learning as we're going here. Executed on some, I guess we got a lucky break at Atlanta. I mean, we were faster. I just felt like I just needed to execute a little bit better, and went from ninth to second on the late race restart. So that was good to get my first top five finish of the year. Daytona, I kind of struggled at. Got collected into a wreck, but that's normal Daytona. And then Vegas restarted the last caution, running second with 10 laps to go, and the right rear tire was all blistered and came unraveled. So I don't know if I got a fair shake on that one. It didn't show on the results paper, but I feel like we've been executing somewhat good. Just need to clean up a few things, but just trying to learn as I go every time.
We're with Noah Gregson tonight on Racetime Radio. He's getting prepared for Martinsville tomorrow. Of course, snowed out this weekend, but he is going to restart that race in ninth spot. Always a fast truck, always entertaining. In 10th spot.
Are you 10th? I thought you were, it says 9th here on the NASCAR.
We're trying to get you up one spot,
buddy. I think you're 9th. If you look on the NASCAR.com, it says you're 9th.
All right.
Okay. He'll take a spot.
Well, yeah.
Then when he gets in trouble for it, he'll say, well, don't blame me. Blame those guys at race time. They told me last night I was 9th. That's what it is. Yeah. That'll be too much. What track are you most looking forward to getting to on all the tracks you guys go to this year with the trucks? Which one are you most looking forward to, Noah?
The next one, Martinsville, to finish out the next 230 laps there. Just really like that racetrack, really enjoy how the races are run there and how you have to get around that track as a driver and with my driving style. That's a lot of fun.
Noah, we're here at Racetime Radio. We are massive late model fans, and obviously you are a super late model competitor across the board. You race, you know, 5 or 6 times a year now on top of your schedule. But talk to us a little bit about your late model program. What do you got coming down the pipeline for the rest of the year?
Just a few super late model races with Kyle Busch Motorsports. Nice. And then just really as far as super late models, got maybe 2 or 3 left. And then also have been helping out KBR, Kathy Bergey Racing. Mike Bursley out of Michigan runs a whole team up there with a young driver called Carson Hosevar. So I was just fortunate enough to have the opportunity to go down there and help him out with tires and whatnot. This past weekend, actually. So that was a lot of fun, just get my feet wet working on the things. Always like going back and helping out teams, so it was a good time.
That's one cool thing. You're not just an arrive and drive type of driver. You live, eat, sleep, and breathe racing. That's one thing that you know, we can take to the bank, is that you are a true racer in every sort of the word.
Yeah, I mean, I love it. It's a lot of fun. I put all my time into it, really. It's my priority. So hopefully one day I could be known as a true race car driver. And I also like to have fun on the side and joke around. But ultimately, if I can be known as a real race car driver and one who's really passionate about it, that'll be something that's really special to me.
Well, it'll be even cooler if we can call you a winner on Monday at Martinsville. Wouldn't that be cool?
Oh, yeah.
That would just top them all, wouldn't it?
Yep.
Yeah, good deal. I know we look forward to watching that Safe Flight Toyota fly around that track tomorrow. You better get some sleep. You got a busy day. You got what time are you going to get there tomorrow? If you're in Mooresville now, you're going to have an early curtain call tomorrow morning to get on that plane to get there.
Yeah, I got to. I think we're leaving the house at like 7 a.m., so not too bad, but. Yeah, just got to get some rest tonight. And I don't know, it'll probably be pretty weird tomorrow getting back in the truck. Probably the longest red flag they've had on the truck series, but hopefully it'll be good.
Well, we know all of us will be watching you, my friend. Good luck in the race, and we really appreciate your time tonight on Race Time. Surely do appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you, guys.
Keep McReynolds away from the hot dogs, too.
Yeah.
That's Noah Gregson. He's going to go back into his truck tomorrow at Martinsville Speedway. They're going to finish that race off, Joe, and then it's going to be onto the Cup Series, and away we go.
Yeah, for sure. And big news, too. Noah Gregson's going to be running in the Pinty Series.
That's huge news.
Yeah, it's going to be really cool to see him in Victoria Day weekend, and obviously, you know, back up here in the Truck Series as well. And Noah is he's a guy, you know, from Nevada, who has raced a little bit of everything, and he wins in absolutely everything he gets in.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
When you look at his super late model program, and you know, he's all over the map. He's a great guy to follow on social media. You know, he's got it down pat. He's got a personality plus, and I think that he's here to stay in the sport.
Well, I've followed Noah Gregson since he was running his super late model, followed him through ARCA, and then, of course, on to the trucks and everything else that he does. He's always exciting. Great little driver. He's got a big future in this sport.
Absolutely. And look at who he's working with, right? Like Kyle Busch. You can't, you know, when you look at that camp on the development side for Toyota, my Lord, they have resources to draw from, and he's definitely in the right hands working with Brandon McReynolds and those guys, too.
Take a look on the wall. What do we got?
Yeah.
We got, there's a Kyle Busch card right there.
Yeah, from Eric Jones and those guys.
Yeah,
and,
back when he was running in that 18 truck.
Yep.
Yeah, good stuff. We're going to hit our final break. When we come back, we're going to get to the hotline, and we're going to bring in Dave Franks. He's got some exciting news surrounding the IWK 250. He's going to fill us in when we come back. Stay with us.
Hey, race fans. It's the 82 Fortinos Dodge. Dave Conley from Ottawa, and you're listening to Race Time Radio. Check us out at a local school. Go to fuelforkids.ca.
From coast to coast, you're listening
to Canada Talks.
Have you got some racing news or maybe a comment?
Well, contact us anytime
at info@racetimeradio.com.
Or call toll free at 888-5-RACETIME.
That's 888-572-2384.
And for a good time, ask for candy.
Just kidding. That's 888-5-RACETIME.
Isn't that too many letters?
No, one thing I've learned, never, ever question Smokin' Joe.
Yeah, but it's got too many.
SiriusXM has a commercial-free music channel for when you are ready to proudly fly your freak flag.
We're getting loud and crazy.
Crazy on Ozzy's Boneyard.
It's hard and heavy classic rock officially sanctioned by the Prince of Darkness himself, Ozzy Osbourne.
I can't believe I got my own channel, man.
Get your AC/DC, Priest, Zeppelin, Iron Maiden, and Van Halen. Oh, and of course, Ozzy.
Ozzy's Boneyard. SiriusXM 38.
Also available online and on the SiriusXM app.
Hi, I'm Elizabeth Cook. I have a show on Outlaw Country. I talk like this all the time, and I have not been sucking on helium. I'm an artist, too, and I've been on the road with Merle Haggard. Hank 3 has spun out in my driveway before. The music that you hear on Outlaw Country is put together by humans. It's got a soul behind it. We don't just play Willie and Waylon and Hank Jr. and leave it at that. We like to introduce new artists that are still out there making the music, living this life. My name is Elizabeth Cook, and I'm on weekdays in Outlaw Country. Channel 60, and also on your SiriusXM app. Check out the app. Thank you.
Race Time Radio is fueled by BP Race Fuels, the worldwide leader in race fuel technology. Dawson Dental Centers. Get your victory lane smile at DawsonDental.ca.
SiriusXM PGA Tour Radio wants to help you become a better golfer. Legendary golf instructor Hank Haney is now hosting a daily show, offering advice aimed at lowering your handicap and making you the best golfer you can be. Hank has helped improve the swing of some of the biggest stars in the sport,
including Tiger Woods.
And now he wants to do the same for you.
Interact with Hank daily from 10 to 11 a.m. East, only on PGA Tour Radio.
Sirius 208, XM 92.
Or listen on your phone with the SiriusXM app.
Whether it be radio or racing, side by side is no problem for these guys. Let the fireworks begin. We're back to the Two Joes.
And welcome back, everybody, to Race Time Radio. All aboard. All aboard. Yeah, this is a crazy train with about another 20 minutes to go to the top of the hour. Let's welcome in our next guest. He is a staple here in the province of Ontario. And when you talk Canadian motorsports, this guy has shot pretty well every photo, every memorable photo that you've ever seen in stock car racing. Dave Franks is responsible for most of the stuff we see on a consistent basis over the last, 35 years or so. Let's welcome him to the hotline. We got Dave Franks. David, how are you? David? Dave Franks. Do I have the right line? Dave Franks? Let me try this again. Dave Franks, have I got you there? Okay, I'm going to try Dave Franks over here. Hey, Dave Franks, what's going on? Okay, it's not that line. Dave Franks? I'll drop that one, and I'll bring back up that one. Dave Franks, do we got you now?
Can't hear him. Dave, crickets.
Dave Franks. Okay, we haven't got Dave there. Let me drop that. Okay, Sue, I'll let you work away again. Dave probably thought, well, we were on break, that we weren't there. So Sue can call Dave back, and we'll bring him right up immediately on the hotline. Newbie guy, right?
Yeah,
newbie
absolutely.
Guy, but newbie, that's cool.
Guy.
Yeah, newbie
yeah.
Guy.
Yeah.
Dave Franks, what a staple in Canadian motorsports. Through his lens, he has captured more magical moments of this sport than absolutely anybody that I know of.
Yeah, for sure. And Dave has been, you know, a staple at, you know, numerous racetracks all across Ontario, really all across the globe.
Yeah.
Really, he's a motorsports guy through and through, and he definitely keeps young by running around taking pictures.
Yeah, he sure does. See, we got him on the hotline now, I do believe. David, how are you?
Yeah, go ahead, Joe. I got you.
There we
hey,
go.
There we go.
There's Dave Franks. Dave, how's the off season been for you? Let's start there. How's the off season been for you? I know you had a busy time at Motorama.
Yeah, Joe, that kept me pretty busy, and I think this is the second time now I didn't make it down south, and I understand you didn't make it either, or as far as Daytona goes. So,
yeah,
I was busy with them, and there are a bunch of good boys there at Inside Track Motorama Custom Car Show. So we were there. I took care of business what I had to do, and looking forward to the season. That's about it.
Yeah, well, you've got some exciting stuff cooking. I know you've been working away in the background. You and another guy have got some big plans for this July surrounding the IWK 250. And for fans that don't really know, Dave Franks, you and Don Biederman go way, way back, and we're close friends for a lot of years.
Yes, we were. We were quite close friends. In fact, I ended up being close friends with his parents after they retired and moved up to Northern Ontario, and I used to snowmobile with Donnie, and I saw a poster one time in a store in Toronto, Don Biederman racing at Pinecrest. Hey, that's the guy I snowmobile with. But I got to know his parents very well and spent a lot of time with him and Donnie in the off season. We wrecked a lot of ski hills and stuff like that, and golf courses in the wintertime with sleds. But yeah, we go way back, and so we've got some exciting news now for the fans, and I'm looking forward to getting down east to this IWK race, and it's going to be a lot of fun.
Dave, we know the number 43, the John Thompson Moving and Storage number 43, the iconic Biederman paint job and the Camaro that Don used to drive. We've seen that at the Maritime Motorsports Hall of Fame. We've seen it at Riverside International Speedway. And I believe that car's still out on the East Coast, isn't it?
I hope so, because I had that car built for the Canadian Motorsports Hall of Fame, and we did that, and they used it for some time, and then it sort of fell by the wayside, and I just took the car and sent it down east, put it in the museum down there so those people can appreciate it, and I know they appreciated Don when he came down every year, and so that's kind of what happened there, and we brought it back to Ontario for a while, and it was short-lived, and I contacted Rolly McDonald in Florida. I says, Rolly, this car, I says, come on up here to Ontario, pick up this car, take it down east, and I want it to be there where the people can appreciate it. And that's where it is now. That's the John Thompson car.
Yeah.
But, well, I was summoned by the Canadian Motorsports Hall of Fame to get a car. I said, what do you want, a Handley car, a Zardo car, a Biederman car? They didn't care, and it didn't have to run. So I went out looking for see what I could do, and I got Ed Howe, Larry Knott hooked up, and John Thompson, and they built that car. So now what's happened, I talked to Zardo, and I says, Zardo, I heard the Biederman car's around somewhere. He says, well, because Zardo lives here in Brampton where I do, and he says, go over to John Hutchins, Auto Wreckers. I think he's got the real Oxford 250 car.
Really?
Yeah, really. And I couldn't believe it. I never knew John. I drove over there. He's 0.9 miles. Within a mile from my house is the wrecking yard. And I went in and introduced myself to him, and he says, yeah, I got the car. Biederman sold it to Larry Forbert, and Larry sold it to John, and Larry drove it a little bit, and John raced the car, took the body off, put his own body on it, and he had a little bit of success with it. In fact, he did win at Sunset, and he wanted to get a picture of it, and I said, well, I don't have it, but I know the photographer up there, and so I got a hold of Betty, and sure enough,
really,
John's happy, and John decided to resurrect his car. So we did that last year, and we put it in the show, but the car has a new suit on it, all painted up, the proper decals on it, Ed Howes and Castro and I think it's Goodyear Champion Spark Plugs, and that's it. So we had it in the show, and it was quite good, and now we got in touch, a fella from down east got in touch with me and Pat Lawrence from Mazda dealership in Dartmouth. He said, I'd like to have that car here because it's 40 years when Don won with that car. He won Oxford 250 in 77.
Yeah.
And in the same year, he's at home and won the Cayuga 250, or it could have been the 150, but he won it. And the following year, which is now 40 years later, we want that car here because Donnie won with it down here, and it's a big deal. So arrangements have been made, and I'm looking forward to bringing it down there, and I hope all these racers for Ontario, and especially the APC racers, are going to just follow me, and we're going to make the freight train and get down east and have a good time and see this race and enjoy that car again. Because now the car, John spent the last month getting it ready, turn the key and go.
Really? So it's an actual driver.
I'm sticking to it, as Bobby Allison would say.
Yeah, you and Bobby go way back, too.
Oh, we sure do, and then so do you and I. You and I don't know. We got to quit arguing. Was it you or me that found Moses in the bull rushes? I still think it was me, but I'm not sure.
Well, I know it was you that parted the seas.
Well, I don't remember that one. I must have Alzheimer's.
Incredible, Dave. That's great news. You know, the East Coast fans, I know them quite well. Been down there on the East Coast for now going on the 8th year. You won't find more dedicated race fans anywhere in this country, and they appreciate the history of this sport like just like we've never seen before. The Maritime Motorsports Hall of Fame is at those racetracks all the time. And you know, fans go by and visit the Motorsports Hall of Fame there, the Maritime Motorsports Hall of Fame. They are going to eat this up to see Don Biederman's car that he won the Oxford 250 with, and I believe that's the same car that he would have won Riverside, the Riverside 250. He won it twice, which is the same as the IWK 250 is today.
Yes, I believe that's so. That car is history, and John, he's never been so excited in my life. I can't believe it. It's he worked. I'm serious. He worked not day and night. He worked all night on it because he's got to run a business, and he runs the wrecking yard during the day, and he's got that car looking the way it should, and there's some things on there. I think that's a little too good for a Biederman car, but no, because Donnie used to make the comment. If I can tell you this real quick one here.
Sure.
He's working on the car, and Bobby Sumac, one of his crew members, was with him. He was there in Oxford, and he's working on the car. He says, hand me that bowl over there. And so he goes over where? He says, that silver bowl, give me that bowl. He says, that's not a bowl, that's a trophy. He said, it's not making me no money there. So he gave it to him and naturally pulled the cover off the rear end and drained it out and changed the gears.
Into the trophy.
That was the trophy, yeah.
Oh, man.
Ain't making me no money there. Give me that thing. So that's how Donnie was. But, we're looking forward to it, and we want to do justice to, I guess what the word is, Donnie's legacy, what he's done. And he deserves it, and it's just... he's up there with a lot of good people looking down, and I'm sure he's going to be smiling when that old Grabber Blue 1977 Nova rolls out onto that racetrack
this
summer.
Isn't it going to be special? That's going to be a special moment, I can guarantee it. They love Don Biederman down that way. They also love Junior Hanley. And for good cause, those two guys wore it out. And you got to throw Jimmy Hallahan in the mix there, too. Guys are staples from out there in short track racing. Unbelievable. And I sit down with Jimmy every year when I get out onto that East Coast, and I enjoy every minute of it.
Yeah, I just came home from Christmas from up in Sundridge, where Donnie Biederman's folks were retired up there. And we had our garage, my dad and I come in, and here's a big letter and a big... envelope, and it's got General Motors on. I says, oh my gosh, what are they doing now? Soliciting to me through the mail. And I open it up, and here it is. In fact, I got it right here. It's a bunch of programs from the IWK 250 from Jimmy Hallahan, and they're looking forward to this. And I knew Jimmy quite well when he was here. And photographed him, and then he had some sad news in his life, and who he lost a very close family member, of course.
Absolutely.
A lot of good people from down east. They're all good. Roly McDonald and, all these good people. I'm really looking forward to it and getting that car down there, and we're gonna make it work.
I'll tell you what, Dave Franks, you're going to be a good addition to the IWK 250. It is truly Canada's ultimate short track race. You'll see exactly what I mean when you get out there. We're all in for a good time, and for good cause. To have some history coming back to that speedway is going to excite absolutely everybody on those on that property, I guarantee it.
Yeah, I'm going to throw a little bit of icing on the cake when I come down. I acquired three trophies from Donnie, and they all came from the U.S. of A., and they all came from the Oxford. He got three trophies. I think it was one from NASCAR and two from the Speedway. Winning the Oxford 250. I'm going to bring the winning trophy down. I have that, and there's two more trophies here. We use them for annuals. One of them is at Flamborough, and the other one is with the. Vintage Modifieds, and we have annual races every year in honor of Donnie, and I keep those trophies going, and I just make them a different trophy, put their name on it, whoever wins it every year. So those trophies are one of them, I have it in my possession. I'm going to bring it, and the wheel wrench that was used when Donnie come in to change tires on the last lap, they didn't use it because Donnie did not put tires on. He just, I believe Bobby Sumac said, there's air in the tires, go, and he put gas in it. And that's how he ended up winning. But the original air wrench was still in the car. John Hutchin has it, and it has a wheel bearing welded on the end of it so you can spin it faster. And as soon as Bob saw that, to authenticate, to let him know that, yeah, this is the real car, yeah, that was illegal. NASCAR wouldn't allow that. But we still have that. That was Donnie's wrench, and all the other races at home and back in Canada, yeah, in Canada, it was legal.
Incredible.
So, we got these few little tidbits to throw a little icing on the cake and hope that the fans down there can appreciate the trophy and the car. And I plan to be there early, Joe, like early in the week. And,
yep.
I'm covering the APC series. And a good thing about it, Joe, is these APC racers, Fitzpatrick runs APC, and I understand he's coming down.
Yes, he is.
He heard that Kenny Wallace is coming. He raced with him at Flamborough. He's looking forward to running with him again down in Riverside. And this is a good thing. So I'm going to pull everybody I can out of Ontario here, and I know we're going to be welcome down there because these guys are real race fans, and hopefully Junior will be there too, and it's going to be a blast, buddy.
Yes, sir, it is. And then we're all going to come back and celebrate the Canadian Nationals at Ducasse. We got a lot to look forward to this year, bud.
Yeah, Alex is doing a wonderful job, and yeah, I got to get used to that name, Ducasse, and it's all good. It's to me, it's still old Cayuga, but we know it's Ducasse now. And did you know how they came up with the name of that?
Yeah, actually,
Alex ran it by me. The owner apparently has some daughters, and that's the first letter of each one of their names, and put it together, and that's where the name came from.
Yeah.
That's what legend has to believe, but no, that's pretty well it. So it's pretty good, and I'm looking forward to that, because that track is the ultimate. It is. I was there this year. They had three races, and it was unbelievable, and the drivers, it's like driving on a cloud. You don't have to say, when I get to the tunnel turn, watch the bump. It is unbelievable. At night, the lighting is phenomenal. It's just the place to be also.
The funniest story I've got about Cayuga Speedway, and I'll share a quick one. Joe Jr. was, I don't know, maybe 10, 12 years old, something like that, maybe even a little bit younger. And the All-Star Series was running at Cayuga. That night, we were coupled in with the Hooters Cup Series that come north of the border. And Joe was down on pit road. Of course, he was too young to do anything with All-Star. And the Hooters Cup cars were on the racetrack, and of course, Joe's growing up at a racetrack. He couples in and gets into the pit of no one else other than
Brian Vickers.
Brian Vickers, and he's sitting there with Brian Vickers' dad. The cars are on the racetrack, and as you mentioned there, the jump coming out of turn four, one of the guys come in and said, "Geez, I don't know, my clutch is slipping or something's going on." And little Joe was sitting there, and he says, "No, that you're hitting the bump off turn four, and you're catching air. That's what it is." And the tires were freewheeling in the air, and then he come down and hit the racetrack. He said, "No, no, sir, you haven't got a slipping clutch. You got air trouble."
Oh, boy, you should have put wings on it. But, yeah, Joe, it's a whole new ball game, and that track it's silk. It's just like, man, Now it's all air.
There's
no clouds to hit.
Yeah, it's going to be an amazing summer. I can't wait for it, Dave. And this is great news. We're going to get Jim on this program one night. That's your partner's name, right, Jim?
Oh, no, with the car?
Yes.
No, John.
John, sorry.
John Hutchins.
Yep, John Hutchins. We'll get him on the air. We're going to talk to him about building that race car before we hit the IWK 250. And we'll get a chance to meet the guy that put it all back together.
Looking forward to that. Yeah, John, I was out with him all day today. We went to a flea market in Ancaster, all race car stuff and old car stuff, but he had another commitment tonight, so he couldn't make it, but he's looking forward to coming on, and I never seen such a proud man in my life. He's so proud that and he's had it all these years in a container, uh-huh. Back of a container truck in his wrecking yard. The tree grew up that we had to get the chainsaw out and cut the tree down to get the race car out. Because he said, "I got the real car here." Let's have a look.
So, that's amazing.
And this was about 2 years ago now. And in my backyard, if I would have known that, that car down in the Maritime Hall of Fame right now, the John Thompson one, would not exist.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad it exists too.
Well, Joe, this is great. And I appreciate all you having us on, and We're looking forward to the future.
Dave, I can't wait. Another reason to get excited for 2018. Dave Franks, thanks a million for your time tonight, and I know we'll be in touch, my friend.
Thank you for having us, and we'll see you at Riverside.
Absolutely. That's Dave Franks, Stapleton Canadian Racing. Junior, that's a cool story.
Yeah, absolutely. And there's absolutely, you know, looking at the car itself, looking, if you go check out Dave Frank's website, you can pull it up, and he's got photos from Motorama of the car itself. But DaveFranksPhotos.com, you can check it out. And, you know, he's got lots of great photos throughout the years. Everything that he takes, he uploads it onto his site, and they're available for purchase, obviously. And, you know, you can take a look from any event that he was at last year or five years, you know, ago.
Yep.
You know, he's got, it's cool to just simply scroll through, and just see the moments that he captures. And one thing that I really want to touch on, you know, one of the funniest stories that I know from Cayuga Speedway,
yeah,
involved Dave Franks himself. Yeah. And Dave was always the type of guy, he still is today, to put himself in harm's way to get the photos.
He's
not afraid of getting out there and being close to the action with his camera. And at Cayuga Speedway, it was an all-star race. It was about lap, you know, I'm going to say lap 80 of an all-star race, lap 50 of it was right towards the end of the race.
Yeah.
And Rob McDonnell got into the back of Jerry Wheaton.
Oh, yeah, that was coming up
and
turn
Dave
4.
Franks, no, it was the opposite end.
It
was turn 2. But the back straightaway of Cayuga has got a huge football field, you know, infield. But then they've got light standards in the infield. They used to have light standards back there.
Yeah, yeah.
And Dave was standing on a tractor tire that is full of dirt with a light standard in it.
Yeah.
And Jerry Wheaton, coming off of turn 2, got spun by Rob McDonnell, spun around backwards, and came at Dave at Mach 9. It didn't look like Jerry Wheaton's car slowed down at all, because it just turned off, you know, into the infield, slid backwards, and backed into the tire that Dave Franks was standing on.
Yeah, yeah.
And I remember it like it was yesterday. I was standing, you know, probably, I'm going to say 25 feet away.
Yeah.
And I thought for sure Dave Franks was dead.
Yeah, you thought he bought it.
I thought
there.
He bought it. Yeah. And it scared the hell out of everybody. Everybody was freaked out. And the next week, you know, we were talking about it, and he goes, oh, well, here, look it. And he got the pictures of the car coming at him backwards at 105 miles an hour.
Still taking the photo.
He still took the photo all the way to where the dirt shot up, and the dirt was in the air.
Yeah.
I believe the next race was Sunset Speedway.
Yeah.
But I was sitting on the back of the tailgate, and he pulled up on his golf cart, and we were talking about it, and he goes, oh, look it, here's the photos. And he scrolled through his little milk crate that he had.
Yeah, yeah.
And he had probably 10 photos of Jerry Wheaton sliding backwards towards him.
Unreal.
And just that's the type of guy that he is. He is a through and through racer.
Yeah, unbelievable. Hey, I want to let you know, Ken, I know you're listening out on the East Coast of Canada. I know you wanted to hear from Jason Hathaway, and I did reach out to Jason earlier in the week to get him on this weekend's program. And Jason respectively said, Joe, I need a couple more weeks. I got some news that I want to talk about, but it's going to be a couple of weeks. So he did pass on tonight's show. That's why we didn't see Jason Hathaway tonight. He will be coming up, though, in a couple of weeks. And I know Tone, he called into this radio show last week, but we were plumb done out of time, just like we are right now. And I said we were going to leave some room for some calls tonight, and I we got backed up, and man, oh man, the 2 hours flew on by. I will guarantee you next week on this show, we are going to leave a good 20-minute window just to hear callers. There's so many historic things happening. We got so much to look forward to, and I know from all the emails, tweets, and everything else that the listeners are really excited for 2018. And I got to leave enough time on this show so that we can hear from them. And we're going to do that next week. But that's going to do it for you and I here tonight in the studio. Another great show, Joe. Another 2 hours with chocked full of information for people listen to.
Absolutely. You know, we got a chance to talk to, you know, one of the biggest chassis builders going with Fury Race Cars. And we got to talk to Noah Gregson and those guys with, you know, in between the snow delay. And, just a great show.
Yeah, NASCAR Pindy Series. Got to thank Sherry. Got to thank all of our guests here tonight. Really do appreciate it. And we will have more for you next week. If you missed tonight's program, get to racetimeradio.com and click on the on-demand in, say, an hour. It'll be there. Or listen to the performancemotorsportnetwork.com or, of course, Gearhead Country Radio. And next week, SiriusXM Channel 167. But for Joe Jr. and for Susie Q here in the Racetime Radio studio, I'm Joe Chisholm. That's it for us this week. We'll catch you next Sunday at 7 p.m. Eastern right here on Racetime Radio. Have a good week, everyone.
Thanks for listening to Racetime Radio. Visit us on the web at www.racetimeradio.com. Or leave a message on our 24-hour listener hotline, 1-888-5-RACETIME. That's 1-888-572-2384. We hope you'll join us again next time for more Racetime Radio.
Come on now, dig.
Exclusively on your home for the hardcore race fan.